disgusting.
Yes.
That was one.
Okay.
And Mayor, Mayor Ostrak, Josie just came in.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so we've got a quorum, so we need to adopt the agenda. Everybody's
moved to adopt the agenda.
Okay, we have a motion.
Second that.
Second by Josie. Any changes or discussion on the agenda? And we don't have anything to change on it, so if there's no objections, the agenda will stand as written. So community roll call. King Cole.
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck, we have Mayor Henry Mack, we have Jackie Brandel, and we have Chanel Newman, and then we have myself, Chris, and Brenda Wilson.
Thank you. Nelson Lagoon.
Nobody's present except me.
Okay. False path. Standpoint.
Standpoint, we have myself, Emil Movek, Mayor, obviously, Paul and Carol.
Okay. Actan. Obey.
Mr. Mayor, I have Roxanne Newman and myself.
Okay, thank you. And the Anchorage office.
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck, we have Gary Hennig, Charlotte Levy, Josie, Mary Teshi, Amber Yusupovich, Jordan Keeler, Laura Tanis, myself, and Ian Shangan.
Okay. Thank you. At this time, is there any public comments on the agenda item?
Mayor Osterbeck, Henry Mack.
Go ahead, Henry.
See, Alvin, hopefully the budget will pass today on here. I want to appreciate the assembly for supporting our King Cove Fire Department. This past week they had a celebration, and thank you so much for the contribution. We appreciate that. And then it's good to see that KCAP is in the budget again for contract labor and lobbying, litigation, media, and other expenses pertaining to the access road to Cove Bay. Appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you, Mayor Henry. Any other comments by the public? Okay. Here's what I have to say at this time. Any assembly members have a potential conflict of interest on any of the agenda items? Okay. It's there for the record. Minutes of the meeting. We need a motion.
So moved.
Yeah. Second?
Second, this is Brenda.
Okay, thank you, Brenda. Everybody had a chance to go through the minutes. Is there any additions, corrections, or changes?
Hey, Mayor Osterbeck, this is Warren in King Cove. I was actually at the meeting. I was listening to it on the radio on the way up here. Sorry I'm late.
Okay. Good that you're there. Okay, so if there's no changes to the minutes or corrections. If there's no objections, the minutes will stand as written. Thank you. Financial report is not available at this time because our meeting is early due to the upcoming fishing season. But we do have the April investment report, which is in your packet. Paul? Mayor, will we get a draft financial report next week, or how is that going to work for last month's financial report? Annie?
Mayor Osterbach and Assembly, typically, Paul, it's my understanding that it will be in the next packet, so at the next meeting agenda will be when the May financial sweep for the Assembly for approval. But I'm not sure if we can give you a draft version early. I can talk to Roxanne about that.
Okay. Thank you, Annie. So the investment, April investment report is in your packet. I don't know if anybody has any questions on it or comments. If not, normally we have, at this time, we have a consent agenda, which, for once, we don't have a consent agenda. So, public hearings, we have two, and Annie, you want to go through those?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck.
I guess we should put it on the floor first.
Oh, yeah.
So we need a, for ordinance 1811, we need a motion, right?
This is Chris in King Cove. I make a motion.
I'll second that. Okay. This is Josie.
Okay, so seconded by Josie. So public hearing on ordinance 1811 at this time. Before we go into the public hearing, maybe you want to highlight it, Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly, before you use Ordinance 1811, amending Title 6, Chapter 6.04, Section 6.04041 of the Ocean View Borough Code of Ordinances. This is in regards to the permanent fund. At the last meeting, this was before the Assembly for introduction. Now it's before the public as a public hearing item. It's really prudent to go over our investment plan on a regular basis. Over the past several months, beginning in December of 2017 at the planning session, we did start discussing the permanent fund. In this ordinance, there's a few changes. One is we've redefined the purpose of the fund that has not been updated in over 25 years. The original goal of the permanent fund was to reach $20 million. However, if you adjust that for inflation since 1992, that is now up to approximately $35.8 million in today's dollars. The proposed change removes the $20 million language and redefines the account purpose to allow the fund to grow in perpetuity and to provide a permanent potential source of fiscal support to meet needs of the borough, which could but may not be limited to, I suppose, including the school district, issue items arising out of natural disasters, major financial emergencies, and for the payment of principal and interest on general obligation bonds to prevent impending default. As I mentioned in the work session, please note that the borough does have $20 million in bonds, bond debt that we have. We have a bunch of money that could possibly be owed for False Pass Harbor litigation, which could exceed over $4 million. And we also will be requested by the Corps here soon to pay the second 10% for the Actan Harbor, which will exceed $3 million. That's anticipation. The second change is on the spending or distribution policy, which has been reflected to reflect current market conditions to provide a realistic, sustainable rate of distribution that seeks to avoid overspending that would lead to the depletion of the fund and to also preserve the purchasing power of the fund by taking into account inflation proofing. So this changes right now. It's currently we can take out 4 to 8%. This will change it to 4, which is outlined in the proposed change. And this is based off an average of the past 5 years of the funds market, which helps adjust for volatility of the market. Basically, it's smoothing it out. In the report here, APCM provided for the permanent fund, we're currently at approximately $45 million. This is subject to volatility with the market. It could drop down. It could swing up. We don't know. Just a few months ago, there was a decrease of $1.6 million, so it is pretty we just don't know what's going to happen. By making these changes, we're trying to sustain the fund. So we can have money out for capital projects and preserve our purchasing power During the work session, Blake from Blake Phillips from APCM was here, and he did use an example of Homer. The city of Homer had a permanent fund. They spent the entire permanent fund on a police station, and now they have nothing. So this will allow us to preserve and protect that. With that, if there's any questions or...
Okay, thank you. So at this time, then, we will now enter the public hearing. So the floor is now open to, for a public hearing.
Mayor Osterbeck, Henry and Kinkholt.
Yes, Mr. Mack.
Hey, Alvin, on this ordinance here, I think it's a good plan to get it up to that 35.6 for inflation proofing, I guess you would call it. And I know through the past years with the 4 and 8%, that's been formulated out there so that the communities can get some money when it's requested, you know, and the city of King Cove has benefited quite a bit from those funds. I mean, our Waterfall Creek and our soon-to-come incinerator and our past harbor projects and stuff, and it's well appreciated that this money becomes available. And just thinking about the rate that's recommended here, the normal seemed like was like between 4 and 8% the last few some years, and to lock it in at today, we were hoping that, thinking of our inflation rate in our projects too, most of them are we ask for funding for this year, and it usually takes anywhere from some of these projects 3 to 8, 9 years, and so we have inflation in there too. So, just a comment. It'd be nice if it was. Went up to 8 or 10 or 12%, but it's a start. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, Henry, I appreciate your comments. And when we did our work planning session, we did have our investment people over. We went through it, and even at 8% with today's rates and where things are, fund wouldn't be sustainable and it wouldn't grow at those rates. And then looking at what we've been taking out over the years, we settled on the 4. And as, you know, one thing people do need to look at also is as the fund grows, you can look at it two ways, I guess. One is if the fund grows and you're set at 4%, that 4% becomes worth more. You know, if we left it at 20 and it was 4%, would be one rate that you would get. But now that we're looking at close to $40 million, that 4% is worth quite a bit more. And as it keeps growing, hopefully it'll be that 4% will be worth more each year as we grow the fund. So I think you would look at it that way too. So the one thing that we're trying to do is make sure that we don't deplete our fund. I've looked also at other communities that boroughs that had a permanent fund, and they'd use it all for projects for one purpose or the other, and now don't have any. And I think in Southeast, there's one of the communities down there, their infrastructure, their dock is falling down, and they don't have any funding left to bring it back up. I think that was in one of the fisheries magazines or one of the government forms I read not too long ago. So we kind of want to make sure we don't get ourselves in that position and still, you know, keep in mind we look at each of the communities to submit, you know, their requests. Not saying that they will get them, but, I mean, people submit them so we know in the throughout the whole borough how much money communities feel they need to keep themselves healthy and viable, and then the borough also. So I think we're looking at all sides of it. It's just that there's going to be limited funds, but we want to make sure we keep everything healthy, including the borough. So Thank you. Do we have any other public comment on Ordinance 1811?
Mr. Mayor, Gary Henning here, City of King Cove, if I might make a comment.
Go ahead, Gary.
This is following up what I heard Assemblyman Grunhold mention with Alicia, that the same arrangement that Alicia has with the borough is what they have with the city. And let me start, though, by saying I am pro-Alicia, so this is not anything negative towards Alicia. But for the last number of years, we have also been talking with then Karen when she was there and Danny, and we're always curious to know more how they are doing. Does the money that the City of King Cove and the borough bring back to Alicia in the deal that we made back in 2008 or 9, right after crab rationalization, has it really made a difference in keeping Alicia moving forward? And I want to believe it has, but it's never been very convincingly shown to us. And the way the City of King Cove left it last year is that we would once again put it in our budget. And I think everybody knows that what it is that we put in our budget is the same that the borough puts in their budget, and that's the rebate of the 2% tax value of the crab that is staying in King Cove that would otherwise not be there if it wasn't for Alicia. But the question that we always have is, okay, you know, is this making a difference? And again, we think it is, but we've never been convinced of that. But the more important question that we've been asking lately is, you know, the future. Is there any guarantees that you can give to us that that crab is always going to stay in King Cove? And it's sort of like, well, yeah, we're pretty sure it can. We think it can. We want it to. And they've gone so far as to basically put words like that in a letter to the city, which so far has been acceptable to the city council. But I think we still never know for sure what the long-term prognosis is for Lucia. And I don't want to get ahead of Mayor Henry and the city council, but what we might think about doing again this year for the second reading of our budget is to do as we've done in the past and say, Lucia, mid-year budget review, we'll consider putting it back in the budget, but we would certainly like to have some discussion, some documentation, so that we can all better understand that this is still a wise, prudent tax rebate that we're giving to Alicia. So anyhow, I just throw that out there for the borough to consider maybe the same thing that, again, we're not anti-Alicia, but if we say you don't really get your money until mid-year budget review after we've had a chance to know more, I think could make us all feel a little bit better that we know it's a wise thing to be doing.
Okay, thank you, Gary. I think during our during our workshop we discussed it somewhat, and I think somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but what I remember from that is we were, now that Alicia has a new CEO, I think that's what they call it, that we're going to formally ask through the borough for a report on where they are today and kind of a roadmap of where they're planning on going. So I think once their new CEO gets on board, I know they've been having meetings. I think they had a meeting yesterday with him. So hopefully we will get a report on basically where the money went. Or I know it's a nonprofit. I'm going to be curious to see their report and see exactly what they do at that time. So thank you for your comments. So on 1811, are there any other comments, public comments? Not. I'm going to close the public hearing on 1811.
Oh, thank you. It's appropriate for assembly comments.
Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate that all the work the staff done on this ordinance. I think it's well thought out, and
helps us get into the future pretty secure in our funding abilities of using the permanent fund. And I plan to vote for it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Any other assembly have a comment? Hearing none. Call the roll.
Carol.
Yes.
Josie.
Yes.
Warren.
Yes.
Chris. Epcot.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Brenda.
Yes.
Angela.
Yes.
Jesse.
Yes.
Thank you, everyone. Motion carries. Before us, we now have Ordinance 1812, and this will be the public hearing. We need a motion to put it on the floor.
Make motion.
Chris, I make a motion that we bring Ordinance 1812 to the floor.
Second by Brenda.
Point of order, just on procedure here.
Okay.
I think there's a consensus to amend it, and I don't know when it would be appropriate to offer an amendment to the original ordinance that's on the floor right now.
Yeah. Annie, I was going to have you touch on it first, or would you rather have the amendments first?
Let me ask, Tina, are they supposed to do the amendment after the public hearing or before?
Are you going to review it right now? Or?
Yeah, I can review it right now, but I was just curious, do they do it after or before?
Question. I'm not sure of the order.
Mayor.
But I would say amendment and then public hearing because it allows them to make comments on the entire.
Yep. Mr. Mayor, then I would offer an amendment to amend the ordinance 1812, and it would be amended to the blue ink version that Annie, I think it's Annie's or Roxanne's notes about proposed changes. Anyway, incorporate the blue ink that's in our handout in the packet into the ordinance. Thank you. Blue ink numbers, not just the ink, but
would that be correct, Annie?
If you would, I could go over it really quickly. So,
hold on just a minute. So, but we have Paul wants to make a motion to include the corrections that you folks made on the document, and then were there. Oh, how about before we do the amendment, since we don't have a second yet, have Annie go through it and then do the amendment? I think it would be more, so everybody would know.
Whatever you'd like to do
okay.
Is fine.
Annie,
I'll withdraw my amendment right now. Thank you.
Okay. Annie, why don't you go through it, and then I think there would be less confusion on how they want to proceed with the amendments.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly, before you use Ordinance 1812, adopting the operating and capital budget for FY19, this is before the Assembly for introduction at the last meeting, and now it's before the public as a public hearing item. There's a memo here outlining the proposed changes for the budget for FY19. Some of the ones that were discussed between last year or last meeting and this meeting are outlined in blue. that includes increasing or including a standalone item for the radio station of $10,000. It also dropped back the donation request from $33,500 to $23,500 because we moved the radio station to its own line item. And it also includes educational support, the educational scholarships in the amount of $10,000. Those are the three changes on here. Now, at the work session, we did discuss that there were some additional requests that had been made by Eastern Aleutian Tribes. We do give them $150,000. They did request an additional $50,000, and also the school district put a request in for an additional $100,000 for their request. This year, we typically give $800,000. They've asked for an additional $100,000. And those are the changes that could be possible if the Assembly so wishes.
Okay. Thank you. Questions from the Assembly? Paul?
I think an amendment then, Mr. Mayor, to incorporate the blue ink changes that Annie just highlighted into Budget Ordinance 1812.
And on this, did you want to, you know, we thought in the workshop we talked about the school district's additional $100,000. Did you want to incorporate that?
Is it in the blue ink version?
It is not.
Okay, hang on one moment. I'm going to find it on the sheet here. If you come there, you point me to the right sheet. Leaping through them.
So, Assemblymember Grunholt, so the ones on here are in blue are $10,000 for KSDP, and then $10,000 for the educational the scholarships, and then there was a reduction in the donations by $10,000 from what was previously presented.
Well, the question that somebody just asked was about the school, and I only see the $855 in blue ink.
And that includes, right, and that includes the $10,000 for the scholarships there. That's why that's what that increase is for.
I guess to answer your question, no, the additional $100,000 wasn't in this because I believe the school district's meeting took place after hours. So not after hours, but days after we had our meeting. So. He came forward with a request for an additional $100,000.
Is that in writing somewhere?
No, it's not.
It's on their budget.
It's on the school district budget.
Right, but it's not on our budget.
No, not at this time. That's why I was asking.
Just a point of clarification.
Sure.
Because we don't have this in documentation, I'd like to see it in writing. If we do it at a mid-year correction, is that acceptable or what's because it's sure nice to have documentation when we add things. We've got documentation, all this blue ink amendments, but we really don't have that.
Yeah, it's not in our, it's in their budget that they gave to us.
Right.
So the one that you have, it's there. I'm not telling you you have to choose it. I'm just saying if you want to.
Yeah, no, I won't include it at this time in my amendment. Thank you.
Okay. Do we have a second to Paul's amendment?
Mayor Osterbeck, I have a question. This is Chris. So the $855,000 that's in blue, that doesn't include the $100,000 more that they're asking for, or what?
Correct. That's correct. It doesn't.
The only thing it shows in there, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly, is the $10,000. So it went from $845,000 to $855,000 to reflect the increase of $10,000 for the education scholarships. That's it. $100,000.
So if we approve this, then are we saying that that $100,000 is going to be added into that, so that would make it to $900,000?
As of right now.
Paul,
No.
Just another point of order, Mr. Mayor. If somebody wants to make that amendment to my amendment, that would be appropriate to do.
Correct.
I make an amendment that we add the $100,000 in there for the education support.
I'll second Paul's amendment.
Okay, so we have Paul made an amendment to accept the changes in blue on our budget. So we have that amendment in front of us with an amendment proposed by Chris Babcock to add $100,000.
And I believe it's an amendment to my amendment.
Right, yes. So we'd have to have a second.
So we second his?
Already did that.
Yeah, you already did that. So I'm going to second Chris's.
Did Chris make that amendment?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Chris, you made the amendment, right? To Paul's
amendment. Yes, Carol, that is correct.
I'll second Chris's amendment to Paul's amendment.
So now we have the amended amendment that includes an extra $100,000 to the blue line for the school district, correct?
Just a quick question, Mr. Mayor. Is that floating around here, the one you keep referring to, the school one? You said it was...
It's in your packet.
Online.
I sent it to you, Paul. I can give you a copy, though.
Yeah, I have an email.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Okay, just so I get this straight then. Okay, we're approving the $10,000 for the scholarship. We're approving the $10,000 line item for KSDP, and we're approving an extra $100,000 to go to the school district.
Right.
And Mr. Mayor, and they're approving a decrease in the donation line item by $10,000.
Right.
Okay.
Because we're just moving.
Right. We're just moving it. Okay. I got it.
One question on Chris's amendment. I know by state law we're limited to how much we can contribute to the school. Does this amount exceed that limit?
Hold on, everybody. I want to check the superintendent here. I don't believe they know their budget yet, right? Or no, they do. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, they do. Pardon?
Nobody here.
Okay. I would think that he wouldn't have asked for it if it exceeded since they already did their budget.
Besides, we've given them over $1 million before.
I may ask additional questions. On the handout I just received, I don't see that this 855, there's a... Maybe I'm looking at wrong place.
Can you speak up in Sam Point? We can barely hear you guys.
Yeah, thank you. I'm trying to find the 855 in the school printout. I don't even see that, but maybe I'm looking in the wrong spot.
Mayor Osterbach and Assembly, if you look at their handout, $800,000 is there, which is what we typically give for our school contribution. The other funds for the scholarships and for, what's the other line item? Let me find it.
Student travel is $20,000.
Student travel, that's kind of outside of this, is my understanding, outside of the budget that they did. And I know Roxanne's on the phone, too, and she could probably elaborate on that.
Are you there, Roxanne? I don't think she's on there. Maybe we dropped them or something.
That 55,000.
Go ahead.
Mayor Osterbach, Assembly.
Sorry, Alvin, were you talking to me?
Yes. Actually, we're talking about the money that's in the budget
proposal for the Aleutians Eastborough School District. Paul has a question on the amount that they show differs from the amount that's in our budget, and he was wondering what the difference, why there is a difference. And he might have to explain it better.
Oh, so Roxanne, what he's asking is currently in our in the school district budget, they cite the $800,000, and the $100,000 in additional requests. What Assemblymember Grunholz was curious about is where the scholarships and amount of what could possibly be $35,000 if this amendment goes through, and the student travel in $20,000. That's not reflected in the school district budget. So is that handled differently, I think, is the question, or where is that shown, or is it shown?
No, Mayor Ostrak and Assembly members, that is included in the
$845,000. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm looking at it, and I think I see how it's added up now. And if it didn't add up, I probably wouldn't have supported it. But I do see the $800,000 plus the $100,000 plus the $45,000 and taking in the $10,000 scholarship. I see where it all adds up, even though it's hard to decipher for me anyway. So I don't have any problem with Chris's amendment.
Thank you.
Okay.
So before us then, we have an amended amendment that if there's no other questions on it, we need to call a question on the amended amendment, and then we'll be back to the main motion.
Call a question.
Questions called. On the amendment.
Paul.
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Chris?
Vote twice.
Josie?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So the amendment carries. Now we're back to the main motion. So
I didn't get a chance to vote. This is Chris Babcock.
Oh, I heard you, Chris. I'm sorry.
Oh, somebody voted
somebody
for
said
you.
Something.
Yeah. You got to be quicker, Chris. They're voting for you.
I guess I take it Chris Emmerich is not online. So I say yes.
Okay, thank you. So the so now we have the amended motion back before us. So now we can open the public hearing on the amended operating budget.
That's first.
Okay. Your next roll call on the amendment.
Oh, on the main amendment. Okay. I'm sorry. We got to do this more often. Anyway, okay, now we work. We have the main amendment. So we need a roll call on that.
Carol.
Yes.
Chris Babcock?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Justine.
Yes.
Angela.
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay. Now we have the fully amended budget back before us. We have to do this at least once a meeting. Okay. So now, with those included amendments, we can go ahead and open the public hearing on the amended 1812 operating budget. So, any public out there with any comments?
Mr. Mayor, Gary here, King Cove. Just a clarification that my earlier comments about funding for Aleutia, I realized I was on the wrong ordinance, so that the comments that I had made for the previous ordinance should be changed to this ordinance. Having a bad hair day.
No, I understand. So they will be recorded that way, according to the clerk. Any other comments from the public on our amended operating and capital budget? Okay, hearing none, I'll close the public hearing and all questions.
Josie?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Chris?
Becca?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Angela?
Yes.
Justine?
Yes.
You.
Okay, thank you. So, next we have introduction to ordinance 1813. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly, before you use the introduction ordinance 1813, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a tidelands lease within Alaska Tidelands Survey Number 1161 for construction, operation, and maintenance of a dock at the False Pass Harbor. As some of you know, Silver Bay Seafoods is interested or is in the process of beginning construction of a facility in False Pass. They are interested in constructing a dock in the False Pass Harbor. The dock would be located in the northeast corner of the harbor near the North Breakwater. The City of False Pass does support this project, and the borough staff members and borough attorney have assisted Silver Bay Seafoods regarding this. The borough code requires that any disposal of any interest in real property must be authorized by ordinance. It must require a first reading and a second reading at separate assembly meetings. Therefore, Ordinance 1813 and a draft of the tidelands lease is before you for your review and consideration. That the tidelands lease in here may be subject to change depending on how the negotiations go, but it should be relatively similar to what is before you now. Please know that this ordinance will authorize the borough to lease the property to Silver Bay Seafoods for the purpose of promoting economic development and authorizes the mayor to negotiate, execute, and deliver the terms of the lease agreement with Silver Bay Seafoods. And with that, if there's any questions.
I have a question.
Okay. Thank you for the explanation. And so at this time, we need a motion to schedule. Okay, so we have a motion by Carol. Do we need a second?
A second, that. This is Josie.
Okay, second by Josie. So this will be scheduled for public hearing at the July 12th regular meeting.
Mayor Osterbeck, Josie Changin has a question she'd like to ask.
I just need clarification. In the agenda statement, it says Tideland Survey Number 1161, and then you go down into the ordinance serial number 18-13, and it says Tideland Survey Number 1611.
That's a typo.
Thank you.
It should be 1611. It's a typo.
Thank you.
So we'll make that change before the next meeting.
Okay, so unless there's any other questions or comments, questions have been called to schedule.
Warren?
Yes.
Chris? Ms. Babcock? Chris Babcock?
Sorry, yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Angela?
Yes.
Justine?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. You'll see that at the next regular meeting for a public hearing. Next items are resolutions. So we have Resolution 18-39, authorizing the mayor to implement the community budget request process. We need a call.
I move to adopt Resolution 18-39, authorizing the mayor to implement a community budget request process.
Okay, we have Resolution 1839 before us. Comments by administration?
Yes, Mayor Osterback and Assembly. Before you use Resolution 1839, the borough code states that the mayor shall arrange for the preparation of a budget and capital program and that the budget and capital expenditure proposal shall be given a public hearing, which is the process we're in currently. The Borough Assembly has the authority to appropriate funding to communities for projects, activities, and initiatives each fiscal year. Generally, communities have requested capital project funding throughout the fiscal year with no formal request process in place. At the December planning work session that we had, one of the internal improvements that was recognized was to create and implement a budget request process for the communities to request funds from the Borough. An interim budget request process was initiated for FY19. But the goal in our strategic plan was to have a finalized process implemented for FY20. So the intent of implementing a request process allows the governing authorities in Actan, Cold Bay, False Pass, King Cove, Nelson Lagoon, and Sand Point to formally request capital funding from the borough prior to each fiscal year. The request will be considered during the budget process and will establish a uniform way the borough may provide financial aid or assistance to the communities for projects. So in the packet, there is the budget request process, which would entail that the communities would need to submit electronically their request to the borough administrator by March 15th, before March 15th of each year. It outlines what budget request documentation would be required, which includes a budget, a detailed description of the project, a project budget, and any which I just said, but any supporting documentation for the request. And this form mirrors the CAPSIS request the state of Alaska does when they ask for a budget request from us. The budget request review process will entail the borough mayor administration and the finance department to review the request and prepare them for borough assembly review and approval, and a meeting between the borough and the communities may or may not be required to discuss or get additional information. And then during the budget review process, the assembly will determine if funds are available to meet the request. If requests are given a budget to a community, a grant agreement between the community and the borough will be required, and there's a draft grant agreement in the packet for assembly review. And that could change based on certain projects. Some of the wording might change, but that's a pretty good template that we go off of. And also just a note that requests for the communities will be considered but may not be funded. So before you is the policy, is the budget request form, and a template of the grant. And by passing Resolution 1839, the borough assembly authorizes the mayor to implement this process for F starting next year.
Okay, thank you. Any comments or questions from the assembly on 1839? Hearing none. No questions.
Chris. Babcock.
Yes.
Brenda.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Paul?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Justine?
Yes.
Angela?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Resolution 1839 passes. We have Resolution 1840 before us. Motion.
This is Chris. I make a motion that we bring the resolution 1840, I think it was, to the table.
Okay.
Second by Brenda. Thanks.
Second by Brenda. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly, before you, is Resolution 1840 authorizing the mayor to dispose of lots 1 and 4 of the Port Mueller Cannery subdivision by negotiation with Peter Pan Seafoods at fair market value. The Assembly passed Resolution 1837 approving the plat of the Port Mueller Cannery subdivision, creating lots 1, 2, 3, and 4 at the last Assembly meeting. Approval of the plat did not indicate any approval of a potential land disposal. Disposal must be authorized by resolution and then ordinance of the assembly in accordance to borough code. Peter Pan is interested in obtaining lots 1, which is approximately 3.83 acres from the borough, and they're interested in lot 4, which is approximately 3.955 acres and has the existing landfill in Port Mueller on that property. This will allow the mayor to negotiate with Peter Pan to determine a sale price, I suppose, but it doesn't, at a later date, an ordinance will come before the assembly approving the actual sale.
Okay. Any questions, comments from the assembly? Paul?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm glad that, thank you. Microphone's over here. Thank you. I'm glad that lots 1 and 4 are put together. I think it's mandatory that they be sold as a package, and I don't think they should be sold unless it is done that way. So thank you.
Okay. Any other comments? Assembly? Hearing none. Question?
Carol. Warren?
Yes.
Chris? Epcock?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Justine?
Yes.
Angela?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, everyone. So that's the last of the resolutions on our agenda. We have no old business before us. We have two items under new business. They're both discussion items. The first one in your packet is the King Cove Access Project White Paper, which was put together in the Anchorage office by the staff. It's there for your information at this time. We don't require any action on it. I'd like the assembly to look through it. It's a bulleted report. So, Annie, did you want to speak on this a little or not?
I think you covered it, Mayor Osterbeck, but, this is just a white paper, an informational paper outlining the history from 1964 to the present. It also outlines the funding. There is a more detailed report available from the City of King Cove that they drafted, too, that goes into a lot more detail. if anybody is interested, but this is before you as an informational item.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any comments from the assembly at this time? Okay. The second discussion item is a strategic plan update. Annie?
Mayor, I'll be back in assembly. This is just a discussional item, but the strategic plan, we're through quarter one, which ended May 31st. So we just have a quick update of what we've done to date. In the packet is the navigation chart that shows a bunch of bubbles filled in. I would like to give a bunch of credit to all the staff for all the work they've done. We've made a ton of work's been accomplished, and this is only a bit of the work that goes on in all the offices. So a big thank you to everyone for all their hard work on this. So just a few things. There's a few items that did not get completed that are shown in here. Many of them, with the approval of the budget just a little bit ago, a few of these items will get filled in today. And a few of the items will be moved over to second quarter, but it really doesn't affect any of the tracks. Everything should still be on track for the rest of this strategic planning process for this year. But just a few things under marine infrastructure, the assessment of the current status completed and the funding secured for traditional vessel study will be moved to quarter two. We believe we can get that done then. Nelson Lagoon Dock repair, the harbor management agreement, and the tariff rates defined will be moved to quarter two as well. It's just I was unable to get to that work, so we're going to move it there, but I don't anticipate that infecting that track. A few others, King Cole Road, we did take out establishing an advisory committee at this time because we're updating the assembly on a regular basis and the public on a regular basis. This assembly will be included in the decision-making process, and if we do determine that one needs to be used in the future, we can always add it back into the plan. Page two, government policy, the airline service monitoring system in effect. We've got one in effect in Accutane. Seems to be working very well. And we're working on getting one set up in Cold Bay to monitor the airline traffic between False Pass, Nelson Lagoon, and King Cove. So we're working on that, but that's going to be moved to quarter two. And also determining the existing EAS and mail contracts is very close to being done, but that's going to be moved to quarter two as well. Any questions so far? Okay, Cold Bay School, we're going to move that to quarter two as well. We're working with the City of Cold Bay on the proposed use of that Cold Bay School facility. Property survey plan for 2019 design is almost complete, but not quite, so we're going to move that to quarter two as well. The borough property management, which involves the Cold Bay Terminal, we're moving the first bubble, which is lease subject matter expert writer contracted over. We may not need that. I do have a person here in Anchorage that I'm working with, and we're close to getting that lease draft complete. And the last one is just the office technology and connectivity with the technology services RFP for IT services for all the borough offices. That's almost done, and that should be completed here soon, and then we'll issue that RFP here in quarter two. So, like I said, we've gotten a lot done, and thank you to everybody. So if there's any questions, please let me know.
Okay. Thank you, Annie. Any questions on this? None. I'd like to express my appreciation also to all of the staff. Everybody's been really energetic on this and moving it forward. When we did this during the planning session, they said the only way it would work is if people took it seriously and moved through this. And I think staff is doing a wonderful job on it. I have the big boards on the wall in my office, and I really enjoy them being up there. As people come up to see me in the office, they go, well, what is the borough doing? Are you guys doing anything? I always tell them, I'm glad you asked, and I take them over to those little boards, and it's pretty neat. Keep up the good work. Okay. We're
we're down to reports and updates. So I know Annie, you asked if we had to do this since we were on a short term, but I think it's good that we go forward and go through them.
So, Mayor Osterbeck, before you start, I apologize. I wrote one but never gave it to Tina. So I do have a report, if I may.
Sure.
All right. Just a few things. One is about our health, or not our health insurance, but the borough insurance. Mary and I met with Marcia and McLennan, who are insurance brokers, yesterday to discuss the insurance for July 1, 2018 through July 2019. The borough had entered into a three-year agreement with AMLJA for insurance. So the proposed cost for this year is $162,356, which is an increase of $13,836 from last year. This includes borough property, crime, general liability, and public officials liability, business auto, and workers' comp, as well as the broker fee, which is $18,500, is included in that. We also received a loss control incentive discount of $4,180, which is great. The staff and everyone's been wonderful in doing the training and getting attending the monthly meetings that AMLJA provides. So we got a discount for that. And then we also received a three-year discount for our longevity with AMLJ of $7,791. So overall, it was only a 9.07% increase. A large amount of that is due to the business auto because we have two cars covered with comp and collision with the brand new vehicle we bought for Sandpoint. So that was actually a big portion of that increase. We're also going to issue a notice of intent to non-renew with AMLJA here soon, which allows Marsh and McLennan to go out to market for 2019 renewal. So that way they can go and see what others have to offer, and then we'll bring it before the assembly. This will happen probably December, around this time next year, to decide who we're going to go through next year, because our three-year commitment with AMLJA is up. Lastly, I did sign a agreement with Marsh McLennan for their broker services this year. I signed that this morning, so they'll be representing us for our insurance. So I just wanted you guys to be aware of that. School assessments. We have completed the school assessments for King Cove and False Pass, and we also have done assessments last year for Sandpoint and Accutan. We are proceeding with work for Sandpoint and Accutan. Dow, who is our who we just renewed recently for another year, are kind of our in-house engineers, and ECI, their sub-consultant, have provided a scope of services for all the work that needs to be done, the immediate work for this year, mind you. It's not everything. But we had a scope of services from them where they'll help us write RFPs, manage the RFPs, answer all the questions, and manage the entire project from start to finish. It came in at $97,676. Mary and I have gone through this. We've talked to Dow and Emil and Alvin, and we believe this is the way to proceed so we can get work on that. So after this meeting, if you guys don't have any questions, I'm going to sign this and get this project going so we can get the work done this summer before school goes into session. Also, just so you know, we haven't gone through the False Pass and King Cove assessments yet, but the work for immediate needs is quite high. For immediate needs this year, there's about $208,000 worth of work that needs to happen in King Cove and $551,000 and some change for False Pass. That's a lot of money, and we don't necessarily have that for repairs, so we're going to meet with Dow and ECI and go through it and prioritize what we can do, what needs to be done immediately, and then how can we space it out over the next year so we can get all of that done like we should in the next year. So just so you guys know that, there's a lot of stuff going on right now in the school. So we're working on that as fast as we can. Just so the last few things, Mary and I did go to Sandpoint in May. It was a great trip. We had the meeting there. We also got to do a tour of the Trident facility, which was really fun. So we did that. And then the truck surplus item, which can go into more detail, but that truck has been sold as of this week. So thank you to everybody that made that possible. And other than that, just business as usual. So if there's any questions, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Annie. Anybody have any questions for Annie? Paul?
Maybe Annie could update us on the latest King Cove Access project and when do we anticipate any changes in legal status or whatever. Anyway, the up-to-date latest info, I guess.
Paul, I don't really have much more to share at the moment. Honestly, I think Gary Hennick could answer that question better than I could. I think there was something due today, but I'm not sure from the Department of Justice. But if you're okay, I'll defer to Gary because I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, go ahead, Gary.
The submittal from DOI today to the Department of Justice is fairly routine. Nothing real special about that. I think in terms of the big picture, to best answer Assemblyman Grunhold's question is that we've got probably 4 to 6 months now to basically wait for Judge Burgess to make his decision. What I have been learning in the last couple days is that he is a judge who gets into the details, that he will closely scrutinize the land exchange agreement and why this agreement and where we're at now is different than the process we went through with the Obama administration. And there are some subtle legal differences that we think are the crux of the argument as to why Secretary Zinke is justified in doing what he's done. That's really the question that the 9 environmental groups that have been suing us are saying that the actions that Secretary Zinke took are not well-founded on the basis of law, particularly ANILCA. So we've got 4 to 6 months to go on getting the legal answer. But in the meantime, the other part of the process that's moving is the appraisal process, putting a value on the 500 acres of land that has now been requested by the King Cove Corporation for exchange from the federal government for 500 acres of equal value land from the corporation. This is a process that we spent a couple hours on the phone this morning that we don't have any control over. We are trying to make sure that we at least understand that the appraisal process for both the federal government and the King Cove Corporation is fair and is equal. We believe that we'll be getting more information on that soon. So our hope is to do everything that we can do in the land exchange agreement and be ready to actually see a conveyance of land take place hopefully early next year. And that assumes that Judge Burgess will render his decision by fall and that that won't be anything adverse to where we're going at this point.
The Assembly, thank you, Gary, for that update. Assembly, do you have any other questions for Annie?
Okay. Mayor Osterbeck, this is Chris. Is there any way that we could get a report of those assessments on the school, you know, maybe those big ticket dollar items that she's talking about, or just kind of curious as to what those assessments entail?
Annie?
Yes, the Babcock. I could have that, or at least a summary of that in the next meeting packet. Is that okay?
Yeah, that'd be fine. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, if there's no other questions for Annie, Mary, are you there?
I am. Thank you, Mayor Osterbach and members of the Assembly. My report is in your packet for your review. Just a brief strategic plan update. I wanted to let you guys know what I would be participating in quarter two. So first up is the Accutan Harbor. I mentioned this last meeting, but we need to do some cleanup around the beach for the Accutan Harbor, so I have enlisted the help of Trident to do that for us, hopefully in this month of June, but if not, sometime in July before summer ends. So that will be taken care of early quarter two. Nelson Lagoon dock repair, as Annie mentioned, some of this has been moved to quarter two, so I will be involved in hiring the engineer and project manager to help us with construction bids. But, of course, that is contingent upon executing the dock and harbor management agreement and setting the tariff rates, so we'll keep you guys informed of how that process is going. Nelson Lagoon school renovation, so I'll be involved in engaging Dowell Services to help us do the assessment of the schools. And that is also contingent upon the property deed being transferred by the state. So once that takes place, we can move forward with that process. Cold Bay Clinic quarter two is basically going to be trying to find funding until we can get the entire project funded. So I wanted to touch a little bit on Assemblymember Babcock's question regarding the funding. I was able to go and look at where we're at with the funding. I apologize, I didn't have that before. So right now, with the borough's new appropriation of $900,000 in FY19, if we are successful in getting the Rasmussen Foundation grant and the State of Alaska money, we will have about $3.9 million secured for that project. That does include the borough's appropriation, but that still means we'll be short about $1.2 million. So I've talked with EATS a little bit about this and got some recommendations from them on how we should fund this thing. They recommended that we go out for another HRSA grant, which is the Health Resources and Services Administration grant, federal grant. They've applied for it twice, haven't gotten it, but that doesn't mean we can't keep trying, so we'll definitely go that route. And, of course, there's other funding opportunities out there. It's just a matter of finding them and applying. So that's where we're at with that project, and I'll stop there if there's any questions on that funding. Okay, great. Does that answer your question, Assemblymember Babcock?
Yes, thanks, Mary.
Okay, no problem. And then the last one, of course, is the Office Technology and Connectivity. As Annie mentioned, I'm working on the tech RFP for a tech provider for our offices. I'm pretty close to finishing that up, and so we'll be submitting that out to bid early in quarter two. Moving on to Sandpoint trip, Annie mentioned that we went out there. It was a great trip. It was my first trip to Sandpoint, so it was really nice to be able to go out there and meet everyone and see what Sandpoint's all about. So thanks for everyone who was hosting us. Helicopter operations, since we're kind of early in the month, I don't have May up yet, but I will get that to you at the next meeting. And I did want to touch on Assemblymember Gronholt's question from last meeting about how we're doing on ticket sales and trying to collect payment from people who are past due. I had Roxanne and Jackie send me those numbers, and so we're still about $160,000 away from collecting everything we're owed. And about 75% of that is Trident. They're slower at paying their bills, but that's just because they have more bills coming at them. So we are collecting slowly but surely. We're getting that money in. So I just wanted to give that update. Other than that, I continue to help with operations as needed. So, if anyone has any questions, let me know. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? Ernie.
May I start back? Ernie is on vacation. He's not here.
Oh, okay. That's right. So, anyway, Ernie's report is in the packet. Laura.
Thank you, Mayor Osterbach and members of the Assembly. Just a few things that I wanted to mention. I've been working with staff at the Sheraton Hotel to secure a meeting space for the borough and AEB fishermen during the Alaska Board of Fisheries meetings, which is February 21st through the 27th. And the meeting room is in the Kusquim East on the second floor. And the borough and staff members will be there to assist fishermen with testimony. We'll also have a high-speed copier so that those that need to make multiple copies to share with board members will have that available. In addition, I wanted to mention that anyone who is planning to travel out for the Board of Fish meetings who is interested in reserving rooms at the Sheridan, if you mention the Solutions East Borough name, you can get a special room rate of $100 per night or $150 per night for a junior suite. So I just wanted to mention that. Annie mentioned earlier about the King Cove Access Project white paper. When I was tasked with that, I was asked to put that information together and make it a concise document that goes into the history as well as the funding that the borough has contributed towards this project. It basically goes over a lot of the highlights, and as Annie also mentioned, anyone who's interested in more of the details of the history, Gary Henning put together a white paper. I believe it's about 16 pages of the history on the project. Has a lot more in-depth details for anyone who's interested. Let me know. I have a copy. Gary Henning would also be happy to share that with anyone who's interested. Currently, I'm working on the Accutan Akoon Marine Link white paper. Almost done with that. We'll probably finish up that on Monday and then give Annie the first draft. And then between Annie and Roxanne that can help with some of the financial information to include, we can get that completed and put that in front of the assembly soon. Also, I've completed the first quarter work on the communication section of the AEB strategic plan. Got information from both community leaders as well as providers on what type of telecommunications are out there serving the borough, and also got to, you know, information from providers. I assigned myself an extra task on that project for, I believe it's going to be the third quarter, which would be a survey that will go out to residents that can talk about what their satisfaction level is with the telecommunications providers, and if they're unsatisfied, we'll leave a section as to what are some of the problems people are experiencing and how often, just to give the borough a better understanding of that. Also in your packet, I wanted to mention I've included a copy of an article that the Alaska Magazine did when there were three guys who walked the entire length of the road from Cold Bay to King Cove. Interesting article as well as photo essay. In it, the writer mentions that there's a network of Jeep trails that are left over from World War II and used by present-day sport hunters who are on the Cold Bay side of the Eisenbeck Refuge. That's kind of interesting because very often our critics tend to leave that entirely out of the argument, so it's an interesting point. There's also another article that appeared on a website called CFACT, which stands for Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow. Basically, according to the website, it was founded to promote a much-needed positive alternative voice on issues of environment and development. And an interesting point that the writer brings up on that is he talks about that there is a well-documented experience of migratory birds along far more challenging flyways. And he brings up that according to the Audubon Society, there are more than 325 bird species that make the round trip each year along the Mississippi flyway from their breeding grounds in Canada and the northern United States, wintering grounds along the Gulf of Mexico and in Central and South America. And they cross over about 130 bridges that cross that river, seven of which are part of the heavily traveled interstate highway system and pass such major metropolitan areas in New Orleans, Memphis, St. Louis, and Minneapolis-St. Paul. So very interesting information that he brought up there. Thought I would point that out. And in addition to that, as many of you know who attended, there was the recent AEB Fishermen's Meeting that occurred on the 17th. Ernie has information on that in his packet about that. A large amount of the conversation focused on the immature test fishery and the upcoming Board of Fish meeting. Interesting that the immature test fishery near Sandpoint appears to be the only one in the state, so that is something that a lot of fishermen are think is unfair and are concerned about the socioeconomic type of impacts there. So that is something that we're going to be closely watching. And the test fishery, I believe, happens in early July, so we'll have to see what happens with that. That's about it. I'm getting ready to work on another In the Loop newsletter, so if anyone has any story ideas or events that are coming up, please let me know. Always interested to get that information out. Thank you, and if anyone has any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Laura. Any questions? Hearing none. Amy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Assembly members. It's a short and sweet report, but it's been pretty busy. And as Annie had stated there before, that we're doing those assessments with Accutan, Sandpoint, and False Pass and King Cove, and just getting them prioritized so that we could get some things done this summer before school gets back into session. So we're really getting in onto that, getting materials together. Going over to King Cove and taking care of the office building over there, probably get some new paint on it, and looking at putting a new rail on so that we won't have any more slips over there in the wintertime and everything. Fixes back drain back here, and the Sandpoint school back by the kitchen is like a swimming pool back there because the drain kept plugging up. So I put a couple of risers on it so that it quit accumulating all the rocks and everything, so it'll actually drain right now. Preventive maintenance work orders are coming in, and we're getting through with them and staying compliant in with the state with those orders and the preventive maintenance, and working with Henry here mostly in Sandpoint, and we're going to be getting the other schools on board here when they get back in session, probably in August when everybody gets back to get ready to start for this year. And just getting quotes together, materials together, went to Cold Bay Airport. We flew in there, actually got to get dropped off there at the new terminal, and went over there and did some assessments or stuff that needs to be done over there and what we're going to do, and made a list over there as well, and got to be able to depart out of there. Also, so that was pretty neat to be able to utilize that. And we walked through the Cold Bay School. I mean, it's in really good shape. Just got some carpet issues and a couple leaks in the gym roof. But other than that, it looks like boilers are ready to turn on and ready to get that place warm. And it looks pretty good. And just get everything up to date there would be nice, instead of see it starting to, you know, deteriorate of not much heat or anything going on in there. Got that flatbed sold. Going to get on the ferry tomorrow, Sunday night. And that's going to be heading on out of here. So that's another nice thing that we had gotten rid of. And starting to get a little garden going out here at the office. trying to keep that and maybe get to grow some fresh veggies. So thank you for that.
Okay. Thank you, Emil. Any questions for Emil? Okay. One other thing I have had people ask about the Cold Bay Airport terminal building. And currently, we are working on it. Annie's been having meetings with air carriers. Amel, actually, I went over with Amel. We went through the building to see what needed to be taken care of before we can go out to lease. So the short of it is we're working with the industry on getting it ready and getting it leased out. So hopefully soon we'll be able to let you know that the terminal, after all these years, will be up and operational. And again, I want to thank all the staff for the
work that they're putting into all the projects that we're doing. There's a lot of stuff going on pertaining to each and every community. I'm happy to see this stuff going forward. I get to take a look at their progress under coloring of their little bubbles on my wall chart, so it helps keep track of everything they're doing. So anyway, I appreciate all the work that everyone is doing. So thank you. And that's the end of the reports and updates, but do we have any assembly comments? Paul.
Thank you. Tina was good enough to include a Kodiak report on pink salmon disaster money, about the amount of money perhaps, which I guess will be, they'll decide how much that will be next week. But I think there's some things that people aren't aware of yet. I think the governor of the state has to request specific states to distribute the pink salmon money, and they're prepared to do that. And if they get that request really quick, they can process it through the Department of Commerce, Washington, D.C., before June 30th, because that's the fiscal deadline. And if they do that, their possible pink salmon disaster money for 2016 could be distributed maybe by the first of the year. But there's a lot of unknowns, and that's just a quick update. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for that. Any other assembly comments?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor? Yes. Thank you. I just like to thank you also for energizing the staff and for dedicating yourself so much to the borough and what you're doing. I want to thank you and the staff. Thanks.
Okay. Appreciate that. Okay.
Oh, I would like to acknowledge the staff also. It's one thing to hear a report on what's being done, but being able to see the chart with the bubbles getting filled is pretty neat.
Okay. Thank you. So, staff, you're a bubbly little group, I tell you. Now, there is a lot of energy in our staff from one end of this group to the other, so I do really appreciate it. Okay.
Thanks to you, Alvin.
You bet. Okay. Public comment.
Mayor Osterbeck, this is Chris Babcock. I'd like to take this time to thank the borough for the support of our annual Fireman's Picnic that we had last Saturday. We had an amazing turnout. And we appreciate the support that the borough has given us over the last couple of years, and we thank you for that.
Okay, yep, we appreciate that. And I had planned on coming over here, but my ride took off, and I didn't make it, so I'll have to do it next year again. So hopefully you guys had a blast over there. Okay, public, any other public comments?
Mayor Al.
Okay.
Henry here.
Oh. Hey, Henry.
Hello, Al. Can you hear me? Come back.
I can hear you, Mr. Mayor.
Hey, there you go. Hey, just to update here, even with a few breakdowns on our hydro this month of May, this is probably the best May we ever had. I think we burned 2,000 gallons of fuel, so it's just a part of a contribution that the borough has given to the city to help get our new hydro up, so appreciate that. And we should be moving dirt for the new incinerator by this fall. We had a public meeting a couple weeks ago. Good comments, questions, and concerns, which we look at, and but progress is happening there. Which is also some benefit of borough money. So I want to say thanks on behalf of the community of King Cove.
Great. Glad to hear that. I'm happy that you got that up and running. Anytime, you know, communities can save like that, that's a big plus, that's for sure. Okay. We are down to next meeting date. It will be our normal date of July 12th, So looking at the schedules, that'd be the tomorrow or the day after the closure. So hopefully that'll work out for everyone. With that, we need a motion. Motion by Carol.
Second.
Okay, thank you. Josie, second. Okay, thank you, everybody, for all the time you're putting in on this. And just going to keep working.